Hi, this is Beth Jones Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. So I have a question for you this morning. How many times do you need to hear a message before you really hear it? Once? Maybe twice? Maybe you need to hear something several times? Well, in the advertising world, they have a term for it. They call it effective frequency. Effective frequency refers to the number of times a message needs to be repeated before a response is made. Now, many companies follow what is known as the rule of seven, finding that sending a message seven times is the right amount to get a response from a customer. Others say it is closer to 14 times to send a message to get a response. Well, back in 1885, a gentleman named Thomas Smith wrote a guide called Successful Advertising, where he made a case for sending a message, get this, 20 times in order to get a response. Yeah, his research found that the first time people hear or see a message, they really don't even acknowledge it. By the fifth time, they actually do read it. By the tenth time, they begin asking others if they've heard it or tried it. By the 17th time, they're making a note to themselves to go buy it, and then by the 20th time, they actually go buy it. But whew, that's a lot of messages. Well, another researcher on this topic, Herbert Krugman, years ago as an employee at General Electric, developed the theory of three, finding that three exposures were enough to get a decision. He found the first brought curiosity from the hearer, the second brought recognition of the message by the hearer, and the third brought a decision by the hearer. Krugman's research found that on the third exposure, the hearer either takes action or puts it out of their mind until it has some use for them. Now, that last part might just be the key to all effective frequency, that the hearer will take action when they have some use for the message. Well, as we continue our study of Joshua in Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, Conquering the Fear of Failure, we're introduced to a lesson on effective frequency. God repeats an important message to Joshua as God is preparing Joshua to lead the people into the promised land. It's a message that God knows Joshua will have both immediate and long-term use for. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1 and discover God's effective frequency message to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So the repeated message that God sent to Joshua, well, you heard it. Be strong and courageous. God repeated it 3 times in chapter 1 alone, and it won't be the last time God sends this message to Joshua, as we will see in coming weeks. As a military man, Joshua no doubt had some understanding that they would encounter some resistance in order to settle in the land God promised them. There were others who were already living there. They weren't going to give it up easily. Joshua had seen with his own eyes earlier, as one of the 12 spies, what they would face. So it didn't come as a complete surprise that they would face resistance that would require engaging in some battles. But God's repeated emphasis on being strong and courageous, that had to have gotten Joshua's attention even more profoundly. God knew the resistance would be something that the people had not experienced after living in the desert for 40 years. After all, God had provided all that they needed for 4 decades, and they had no struggles to speak of. Joshua was going to lead a group of rather complacent, untested people into a land facing, well, what they called giants, who didn't want to be uprooted and kicked out. Yes, that was going to take a special level of courage and strength to lead them. Joshua knew he needed to stay tuned in to God as he stepped into this journey. Well, as our author, Erwin Lutzer, notes in our book on page 45, he writes, Joshua knew that the voice he listened to would determine the direction he would walk. If he listened to his emotions, he would remain content in the desert. If he could hear the whispers of the Canaanites, he would be intimidated. If he heard the criticism of his troops, he would be distracted. Only if he regularly heard the voice of God would he have the courage to do what seemed impossible. Well, when we face difficult journeys in our lives, we do well to listen even more intently to God's voice for direction and encouragement. When we are facing difficulty or challenges or fear, we want to tune out the negative voices of discontent and distraction and listen only to God's voice. God's message to Joshua is his message to us. Be strong and courageous. Our author notes 3 actions that God gave Joshua that we can take too when we are facing challenges. First, get up. Get up. The challenge isn't going away, and we have to acknowledge that. Get up. Face that there is a challenge. Our author writes this on page 46 of his book. He writes, we must make a decision to confront the challenges that stand between us and spiritual progress. We cannot avoid the enemy and expect him to go away. We must take the risk of confrontation. So that's the first thing when we have a challenge. Get up, see it, face it. Second step, walk forward. Engage the struggle that you face. Engage it. Yeah, the challenges, the struggles aren't going away. Whether it's a personal health challenge you're facing or a family challenge or a business challenge that you need to address, you have to walk toward it. You've got to engage with it in order for it to get better. And that can be hard and sometimes messy. But ignoring it doesn't make it better. Instead, walk toward the challenge and stay strong and courageous. author writes this on page 47. He writes, when the Lord told Joshua to walk, it was not a cakewalk. In fact, this walk would attract focused hostility. The promise in his hand had to be claimed by his feet. The Canaanites were not about to roll over and play dead. No, indeed. Well, first he says, get up, face it. Second, he says, walk toward it and engage it. And now third, he says, stand firm. Do not compromise God's standards. No matter how hard the struggles were, Joshua did not compromise God's standards, and neither should we. No matter how difficult the struggle we might face, we never compromise God's laws. Even if everyone around us is taking the easy way out at work or in our businesses or in a family issue, if the easy way tempts us to compromise, don't take that path. Stay strong and courageous. Our author writes this on page 49. He writes, what strikes us is the utter impossibility of compromise with the Canaanites. Joshua understood that he could not show any mercy to these pagans. Either they would have the land or he would. The only hope for rest was to totally subdue them. This gives us a clue as to why it is so difficult for us to live a fruitful Christian life. We have enemies who seek our utter destruction. The world, the flesh, and the devil are all nipping at our heels to keep us discouraged and turn us away from Christ. Even more so, we need to stay strong and courageous. So how many times do you need to hear a message to really hear it? The more we tune out the noise and distraction, the more we can tune in God's voice, like Joshua did, and hear his words of instruction, guidance, and encouragement. His words of repetition get our attention and give us the strength and courage to move forward. Our author wrote that there is nothing wrong with fear as long as it is aimed in the right direction. When we fear and revere God instead of our challenges, we need to fear nothing else. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Tele-Bible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.